following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Good evening, church. How are y'all today? All right. So I'm so thankful to be able to speak to y'all and preach to y'all today. I'm happy Brother Tracy is also bringing a message pointing to Jesus into the Old Testament and showing who he is to come. I got so excited that I asked him, I would like to preach and I would like to talk about it too. So we're going to be in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. As you're turning into there, I want you to get an idea of this, about titles. What does a title do? And really what it does, it establishes the position that you're in. Many people in the Marines, military, they have titles to establish their branches. If one is in the Marines, they're seen as one of the toughest of the tough. If one's in the Navy, they're seen that they are overseas in combat. People also have titles within their jobs. Me, I'm a personal trainer at a gym. So what does that my title tell? That I'm a certified fitness expert. I can help someone in their career, in their ability to get into better health. I'm able to answer questions about fitness. I'm able to answer questions about nutrition. Anything that will equip them to get into the best health that they can be. In the same way, Jesus does have a title in this chapter. But also I wanted to share about the title that he does have in the New Testament is the Son of God. And this is to display his divine character as God's chosen son. Now for skeptics though, they can look at that and they can probably say, so what? There are also other people in the Old Testament that are called the Son of God. Daniel, Abraham, Isaac, these are also called the Son of God. But their titles are different as well. That their titles meant that they're adopted into this family, that they're a part of the family of God. So what is the title that shows the divinity of Jesus in the Old Testament? That title is called the Son of Man. This Son of Man is someone who will be born of human nature and is able to conquer sin. So we're going to be in Daniel chapter 7. I want to give some more context into this verse too. So Daniel, in this moment, he's getting a vision. He's seeing a dream that there's multiple nations and that they're displayed as beasts. There's four of these of them too. And that they're monsters. They're grotesque beasts. And some of them have horns. And one of them has this mighty horn that shows and right in the center as well. And it's seven other horns that are protruding out of his head. Daniel sees this, but also he sees God as well. And God has given this title called the Ancient of Days to establish that he is beyond time. And he's established that he is from the beginning of time. And he established creation. And within this vision, he sees this too, that he has crushed these beasts, these nations, and submits the other ones as well. And in this vision, we also see something else that's called the Son of Man. So listen as I read verses 13 and 14. This is Daniel. I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the cloud of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and tongues should serve him. His dominion is everlasting, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're amazed of this coming. Lord, if anyone hears this, like, let them understand what this means, that we have seen That Daniel has seen what is to come. That there's going to be a promise. A man that is going to be birthed. And it's not going to be someone that's ordinary, but it's going to be a sinless man. And that he has authority over us. And that in that authority, he also has divinity like you. And that he will come and establish a kingdom. Lord, we're so thankful for the teams that are out here to help us for disaster. Lord, and let anyone who hears this realize the hope that is in your Son. We do this in his mighty name. Amen. Like I said, this is a vision of what is like for the Son of Man. So we have most Daniel has an idea of the Son of Man because this was a promised child that is to come. So Daniel looks to that promised child that is constantly established in the Old Testament. So we can look back and look further and further in history about this promised child. So let's look back into it. So Adam and Eve, when they fell, God promised, did not destroy them, but instead they looked at him and said, I will promise you this, that there will be a child that will come from y'all and he will crush the serpent that caused y'all to fall. Fast forward and we see the two children that they have, Cain and Abel. And surely, hopefully, one of them will be this child. Unfortunately, no, because Cain would stumble into sin and become jealous of Abel and kill him, becoming the first murderer in history. So we fast forward again. Surely there's going to be a promised child. And we get to Abraham. And God called Abraham to be the father of a great nation. Surely this must be him. This must be the promised child that will lead and establish this kingdom and crush a serpent. Unfortunately, no, because Abraham would fall into lies with the Pharaoh and he would be deceitful. But God promises him that there will be a child that would come from him. And that would also be the father and establish these nations. So we fast forward to his son, Isaac. And Isaac, surely he would be the promised child. But he is like his father. And that he would sin and he would stumble. We're going to fast forward again and we go to David. David is known to us as a man who is righteous and holy and wanting to be and learn to like God. But unfortunately, again, David is not that promised child because he would sin and stumble. David would also fall into sin. He would fall into the same sin as Cain and murder a friend of his just to marry his wife. So he would be a murderer and an adulterer. But God still promises this child for them. God continue on and we see Solomon. And Solomon is known as one of the wisest men ever. And God blesses him with wisdom. And he would lead the Israelites. So this probably must be the promised child. Because he is wiser than anybody to come. He would also fall into sin. He would have 700 mistresses with him. So we continue on. We continue on. And we hold on to this promise. So we continue looking to this promise of this promised child. And they would establish names for him and titles. The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of Man. And Daniel right now is getting a glimpse and getting this vision of what to look. He's seeing heaven in its glory. And in that vision, we see the divinity of the Son of Man. Listen, as I look at these verses. In verse 13, I was watching the night vision. And behold, like one of the Son of Man coming with the cloud of heavens. So we are looking up right now. We're seeing into heaven. And in that vision, there is this person with him, with God, the Ancient of Days. And that is the Son of Man. The Son of Man must be divine like God. He must have this divine nature. Because if not, he would not be there in heaven, in the full presence. If we look again into history of what it's like to be in the presence of God for humans, sinful humans, it's usually never good. If Moses, let's look to Moses. Moses was one of the humblest men in history. He was able to, though, he was only able to get a glimpse of the presence of God. When Moses first sees God, it is as a burning bush. He was not able to see the full glimpse of God. And in that holiness, God tells him, take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. And then we fast forward to whenever he's on the mountain and he's wanting to see God. God tells him, you are not able to see me in my full holiness, but you'll get a glimpse of it. I'll show you but a part of my robe, but cover yourself. And when he does, he sees but a smidge of the robe. And whenever he goes back down to the people, he is glowing from the holiness of God. The priesthood, to enter the tabernacle, the holy of holy places, it was important that you were not in sin, or it was unconfessed. The priesthood, they expected, if you were to enter into the tabernacle, you needed to be clean. And the way you do that is through animal sacrifices. For their sins, they could not enter the Holy of Holy places. And if you were to enter in, what they would do is they would tie a rope to the person. Because if they were sinful, they were struck dead. And the only way for them to know is if they were dragged out. So God is holy. He's perfect and he is righteous. And what we're doing is just getting a mere glimpse through a vision in this. And we're seeing the divine, the authority in that. And in that Son of Man, you're seeing that divinity. But you're also seeing the authority that he has. Look at, again, in these verses, verses 14, the part of it. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and tongues should serve him. The Son of Man, he has authority like God. He is glorified like God. And he has power, sovereign power like God. The Son of Man is further exemplified in his divinity through the attributes that he displays. That being authoritative. He's glorified and he's worshipped. And he has sovereign power. He is mighty. And he rules like God. Then through God submitting the kingdom, the Son of Man can come in for his people. And he is establishing that his people will be nothing like the other nations. During that time, nations were split among themselves through people groups. They all looked the same. They all spoke the same. They all spoke the same language. But God's kingdom, the kingdom that will come, these will be a multitude of nations, of people of different races, different tongues, There will be people in Africa that will be part of this nation. People in the Middle East that will be part of this nation. People in North and South America that are a part of this nation of the Son of Man will set. And this nation will all worship this glory in the mighty of the man through different tongues. We'll say, Hallelujah, the Son of Man. There will be someone in a different language, in Spanish, worshiping God, saying, Hallelujah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There will be someone in Africa, in their native tongue, they will sing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In English, in Middle Eastern language, in Arabic, sing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All of these nations, all of these tongues will be worshiping God, singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And if the Son of God, the Son of Man is divine and he has authority, he will be worshipped. And in that, there's a kingdom that we will be worshiping him in. The Son of Man will establish this kingdom where all these nations will worship God and him. This kingdom that this nation is where all of us who are saved will be. So, in this vision, Daniel sees God and what is to come. That there's a submission of wicked nations. An establishing of his kingdom. And within this kingdom will be a king that will restore his people. And we will be in the presence of God. So who is this person? Who is the Son of God, the Son of Man that will set this kingdom for us? Who is the Son of Man that has authority? Who is the Son of Man that is divine in nature like God? And yet will be with us and dwell with us as human. And has that human nature as well. Who is this Son of Man? I'm glad y'all are answering that too. It is Jesus. We look to Jesus as he is calling himself the Son of Man. I would like for y'all to turn into your Bibles to Matthew 16, 13 through 16. In this moment, Jesus is asking his disciples, who do you say I am? Listen in 13. When Jesus came to the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. So they say, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Elijah was a prophet that arose with God. And some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Verse 15, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, that is correct. Jesus is that Son of Man, like the book in Daniel. And the Son of Man has come to bring that kingdom for God and the nations to come. And Jesus comes to the Gentiles. He comes to the Jews. He comes to all the nations. He comes for you, people in America, Louisiana, Morgan City. He's come to other places where I live, New Orleans. He's come to other regions, nations, countries, Africa. He is there for them. He's established that people in Middle East, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, that there are people there that are going to be in the kingdom. In Asia, where they are martyred, they are fighting for their freedom. And they are worshiping God and Jesus. And they will be in this nation, in this kingdom. From all the way to China, to North America. From the North Pole to the South Pole. He is setting up this nation and this kingdom throughout the entire world. And in this nation, we all won't look the same or speak the same. We'll have white people, black, Asian, Spanish, all Middle Eastern, every different race, different tongues, nations, and ethnicities will come and be a part of this mighty nation. And we will not be at war with each other. We will be together in glory with the Son of Man. Jesus came away for that to be restored with all people. Jesus allows us to be citizens in this kingdom. And by putting on faith in him, we are saved. Jesus, as the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, all these titles that he has, God in flesh has come to live with his creation, and he would bring the Word of God to the world. And when he does, we hate it. The people would naturally hate it because it points to our sin, saying that we're wrong. Yet it also points that we need to be saved. And mankind would hate this message so much that they would put him to death on a cross. But this is also part of God's plan, that on the cross of Jesus would pay the debt of sin and death to God. Jesus would die, then rise 3 days later, completing the mission, completing what God has said for us. And now we are able to find and see that kingdom to be established, and that will never end and never be destroyed. So now that the kingdom is present to all, and even in today's time, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, is a key for the citizenship. And the Holy Spirit will work within the people to change them. And so, not like themselves, we are called to die to ourselves. And that's hard. The whole Jesus' words are hard, that in order to follow him, there is a sacrifice. It is laying down our lives for the sake of the gospel. And for us, though, to die and to take up our cross is the gain. The apostles realize this. Each one of the apostles were martyred. Each one took up the cross daily. Paul was constantly in jail for the sake of the gospel. Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't find it worthy to be crucified like him. John was the only one that still survived, but he still was martyred because he was exiled to an island. And in that island, he gets a vision more about that kingdom. And in that vision, he gets to see again the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, his friend come down into from heaven. And in that revelation, he's coming down, getting ready to establish that final kingdom. And in that final kingdom, he is taking what is his. And for those who are not put their faith in Jesus, there's a war that is going to be waged against you. That Jesus says that the punishment is of that is death, and you're going to be cast out into hell, into this lake of fire, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it'll be painful. But for those who are in faith in God, in faith in Jesus, they will be a part of this new earth. They will enter in this kingdom that will be everlasting and never be destroyed. And that there's a hope at the end of the line. Because in this brokenness that we're currently in, there's tears, there's bloodshed, there's so much pain. But also, God will wipe away all of our tears, and there will be no more pain, no more suffering, and no more death. Because there will be a kingdom that is everlasting. And at that, there's hope. So hold on. Yes. Daniel, the other prophets in the Old Testament, David, Abraham, they all waited for this promised child. Now we have to wait and have patience for him to come again. And then, in that hope, we have this glory that we get to see. That there is a finish line. And at the end of it, there's a Father, and there's a Son, and the Holy Spirit that cares for us. And we get to dwell in glory and worship God forever. If anybody, this is your first time hearing the good news of the gospel, that the Son has come, and it's cut into your heart, there will be a moment for you to come, and we would love for you to talk about it. I'd love to pray for you. And if there's anybody else in here who has troubles and has hurts, me and Brother Tracy will be down at the front, and we will pray for you and care for you. And we'll have our closing invitations here in just a moment. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for just the word and the vision that you have for us. That your Son has come. The Son of Man. Has completed what he saw that out to do. And that is to come and to do this mission that you have set for him. And that mission is to dwell with us. And in that dwelling, he gives this good news. And people would push against it and hate against it so much so they put him to death. But us, there's hope for it. Because then we know that there is 3 days where he has to rise again, defeating death. And he would ascend into heaven. Lord, if anyone here who, this is the first time hearing this, let the Holy Spirit impact their hearts. The Holy Spirit is the one who transforms our lives. If you feel like there's something that's gnawing and changing in your heart, and your heart feels like it's going from a heart of stone and it's being cracked and molded, and there's something that's more softer, that's from the Holy Spirit convicting and changing them, and now they're being transformed and they're being restored and they're being regenerated. Lord, we have hope that your Son will come. In that coming, there will be a kingdom that will be established, that we get to dwell with you. We do this in your Son's mighty name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.